WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is Wildcat Chris Harris.
Hey everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
I am Sid Vicious.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
This is WKR Sunday Night.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
The greatest wrestling talk show of all time.
Real fucking funny, asshole.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
If you haven't noticed, and judging by the attendance, you haven't.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
This guy threw at his own kid in a father-son game.
The Omega.
Better teach this kid some control before he kills somebody.
Heartbreak Mike.
Look at this fucking guy.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I'm going to stick it up fucking ass.
All right. Knock that shit off.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is former WWE superstar and ECW general manager. Alejandro Estrada.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device. WTR Sunday Night.
You can't say goddamn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Man's bed, down in the forest with the devil in me. I remember the looks on their faces through the sycamore trees. Ain't no chairs of fire come to take me home.
And welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Welcome to our recap of Extreme Rules, the latest offering from Raw's side of the WWE Universe. My throat is killing me tonight. I don't know how much time it has in it. So, if the music will be quiet. We done?
He doesn't realize how loud it is.
I was doing something else, sorry.
Yeah, well, you know what? Don't do that in public. Picking your nose and that other thing you never do in public.
I was very, very curious to know what the rest of that sounder was. Anyway.
Yeah, I have very little throat tonight. So I'm going to say my name is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. And joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike. Someone wasn't happy with the show.
No, I was happy. It's a thing.
He was drunk.
That too.
Don't worry, so are the writers. And at the head of the table, leading the pack, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
The Alpha, if you're the Omega.
Please never make that a thing.
I'll be the Alpha, you be the Omega. I'm the beginning, you're the ending.
Which is why I do all the intros and you do all the outros.
Does he really do all the outros?
Most of them. Depends on your point of view. From a session point of view. I still can't remember that geek question I was going to ask you, Omega. I've been racking my brain for the last... Oh my god, I've lost sleep. It's been at least 5 minutes.
Hey.
But it had something to do with Star Wars. That's all I can remember. And I just remembered that. So maybe by the end of the webcast I'll remember and then remind me to ask you.
Sure thing.
Okay. That said, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Hey, it's the Extreme Rules version of the live webcast, and something tells me that we're going to be more extreme than this pay-per-view was. Verbally, if nothing else.
Yeah, we're all very enthusiastic about this show.
Nobody's disagreeing, so I'm going to just stick with that and go with it. So, of course, naturally... There's a pre-show that starts before I even get home from work. However, I made it in time to actually catch the pre-show match. Was there anything fun and exciting, new and different and avant-garde and unexpected and worthy of paying attention to before the match kicked off?
Before the match kicked off? Oh, yeah. Yes, there was.
Okay. Did I even see a pre-show match?
Yeah, Apollo Crews and Kalisto.
Oh, yeah, I didn't pay attention to it. See, that tells you how into Apollo Crews and Kalisto matches I am.
But I have one point about that. I have one point on that. I have a point on that. But we'll get to that. The one thing that was noticeable was Matt Hardy did not speak any broken English. He was straight Matt Hardy tonight. Very interesting to keep an eye on.
He still had the mannerisms.
Mannerisms, but in the Ask the Hardy segment, he was straight on normal Matt Hardy. Usually
he's been that way on WWE TV.
But he usually slips into the broken mannerisms. This was straight Matt Hardy.
So basically what you're alluding to is pay attention to the dirt sheets in the upcoming week to find out if something's happened with the lawsuit.
It's not that. It's just keep an eye out, see how it evolves. That's all. Now, Tim, I have one question for you about that match.
I'll try to answer, but I can't guarantee anything because I was getting dinner ready. What?
You have an answer because you gave me the answer.
Oh, okay. What was the question?
As a wrestler, would you want your name to be Mr. Upset?
Oh, no.
Because that's the name they gave Kalisto.
Mr. Upset.
It's the name his wife gave him.
It just, you know, didn't work for Kalisto, if that's the truth, the way it worked for Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mr. Upset.
It makes me think that somebody should buy that boy some Pepto-Bismol.
Mr. Upset is actually the name of that little diagram they have in all of those videos where all the pain is represented by red lights and lightning bolts.
Red lightning bolts and pain. And then somebody else, another one, is just somebody throwing a temper tantrum. Holy fuck, I just got the results from the intern. I can't believe that. Sorry. We'll get into that later when it's time to divulge the results of Pick'em.
Okay, going back to the match, because just get it over with. I like the finish where he did the Selena Del Sol running up Titus. The arguing was stupid and everything like that, but I liked him running up Titus to do the Selena Del Sol.
Yeah, that's a cool move.
That was a nice spot. Seriously? Seriously, Tim? I just read the results, too. Okay.
Yeah. Am I right? Do you understand now why I was shocked?
I was shocked, too. Anyway. So
please tell me an inanimate object didn't win.
You'll have to wait for Pick'em.
Fuck.
Get us to the main show, Tim.
Oh, the main show. Well, you know, it kicks off initially with this warning on your screen not to reproduce or rebroadcast or retransmit any of the pay-per-view in whole or in part because severe legal consequences
Tim, skip a little farther ahead.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So the first match of the night was Dean Ambrose versus Maryse Mizanin's husband, Mike. We bitched about this on Sunday. Do you remember that, Michael? Okay. And my notes, I get the idea of this match, but it does not belong on this card, meaning the match with the stipulation Dean does anything to get DQ'd and he loses the title. And the name of the pay-per-view is Extreme Rules.
The messed up part was, and this was what pissed me off, so you're telling me that if you get disqualified, you have to forfeit the title.
That was the step.
And the screwed up part was everything that you thought that he could do, they tried it.
Maryse slapping the Miz.
Which was the spot we talked about last week, and we talked about on all the shows where it's like that's the spot that should happen.
But something's going to have to happen with Maurice's involvement to attempt a DQ.
But here's the thing. The slap should have happened 2 minutes in. Like, they went 15 minutes before they did the slap.
Yeah.
Yeah, they treated it as a last resort. No, they should have gone straight to it.
Taking the name Extreme Rules away from it, they told the perfect story in the match. They actually did the stip correctly. If it wasn't, you know, Extreme Rules. And I think that's what made it hard for Tim to get into it with, because it's Extreme Rules and you're getting this non-extreme match.
That's exactly it. It was extreme, being in an Extreme Rules match in an Extreme Rules pay-per-view. It was extreme in the other direction. It was extreme non-extreme.
It's to do this is the antithesis of an Extreme Rules.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's the word I was searching for.
Yeah. Because Extreme Rules is concepted as like the one night where, you know, the WWE goes extreme. It's supposed to be a playoff of ECW, so it's supposed to have that feel to it.
Yep.
You can't have the blood and the headshots anymore, but there's other things you can do. You can go outside your usual rule book, not, you know, reinforce the rule book, which is what we've done here.
Over-enforce the rule book.
I just didn't like the way it was even set up, because Miz went up and said, like, I don't want him getting... I don't want him weaseling out of our match by getting DQ'd again. So we're gonna make you're gonna make it so he loses the title if he gets DQ'd. And the answer should have been, no, bitch. If you don't want to worry about DQs, I will just make it no DQ.
Of note, this was the Miz's 92nd pay-per-view match. It shows he has very good longevity.
I'd have to see what other numbers look like to see what that actually means. I mean, I'm sure someone like Kane or Big Show would have a lot more than that right now.
They probably would, but again, they'd be there longer. This goes to show he's had a great 10-year, 11-year run, something to that effect.
One of them.
So it was a very significant number they wanted to throw out there. They tossed Maurice out of the match after the slap spot we mentioned,
which was brilliant when you're figuring, okay, the slap is, the ref is gonna DQ Dean now on Maurice's slap, because it was, see, here's the thing, it was far enough into the match that, you know, and you're saying it should have happened 2 seconds in, or 2 minutes in, yeah, but at the same time, trying to sell it to the fans that this could be the thing that gets Dean DQ'd and loses the title. So, that's the other side of the coin, right? It's been 15 minutes. Slap. Uh-oh. Oh, wait, he's throwing her out? Good. That was my reaction.
And then they did a nice tease where the referee got bumped into, and then they spent like a minute just on the ref's decision. Will he or won't he? Will he or won't he? Will he or won't he?
Yeah.
And then you got the clean pin.
Now, here's the thing. In my purview, the referee must have been a former National Hockey League ref, because he caused Dean Ambrose to lose the title.
No, he didn't.
He distracted Dean so the Miz could come in from behind and lay him out.
Sort of, but it was Dean's fault for going after the ref. Mm-hmm. Dean's somewhat at fault on that.
Well, yeah, that too, but you got to plead your case.
Yeah, at least he's desperately begging him not to disqualify him is what he was doing.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. It was an accident. I didn't see you. Please don't.
It wasn't me. He pushed me. I swear to God, he pushed me.
Yeah. It's like saying, I swear to God, officer, he was already dead when I shot him.
Go ahead, Omega.
I was going to say, by the way, just because he got me curious, Miz is this. It's a list that's a little bit out of date, but the list currently shows Miz either 12th or 13th on most pay-per-view appearances.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Kane, as I suspected, is number one at 170.
Oh, well, there's a surprise.
He's only been doing it since 1995.
There were a couple of pay-per-views. Kane appeared twice at the same time, which is too bad they never went anywhere with that angle, because that could have been fun. I digress.
I told Tim this after the match ended. The best part about this match, it went 20 minutes, and it didn't feel rushed at all. You let two guys actually tell a story in the ring, whether it fit the show or not, but you gave them 20 straight minutes, bell to bell, to tell a really good story. And usually, you get like 10 to 12 minutes on the pay-per-view, and you're just at the edge, and then it's like, oh, just a couple more minutes?
This was like some openers usually, if they are longer, they'll only go like 15 minutes, including ring entrances, but this went 20 minutes bell to bell.
Right, so they were on... between entrances and the video package, they had the first 30 minutes to themselves.
Yep.
Which is good.
It was 33 minutes past the hour when Miz walked up the ramp with Maurice.
That's everything you can ask for out of an opening segment.
And I hated this match. Passionately. For a couple of reasons, Omega. Can you guess what they are?
Well, the bullshit rules stipulation. We already went over that.
Yeah, ad infinitum. But what's the other reason?
Clue me in?
Because it was such a good goddamn match that it would have been the show stealer at any other pay-per-view except WrestleMania. Which ties into the other reason. Which is really sad, because it was a beautiful match, beautifully put together, and it was just a great, like, it didn't low or drag at in any part.
And this is where I ask Omega. So he does the Brian kicks, right?
He does the Brian kicks, and Michael Cole is very quick to point that out.
But what didn't he point out?
He pointed out the running knee. Cole pointed out as the thing, whatever he did.
The running drop kick.
It's literally the call. It's like that running knee of Brian's that Miz pulled out. Okay, I get you. Again, yeah, you got that kick thing down. Okay, good, Cole. But pardon me if you fail to recognize the finish of one of the most popular stars ever. Good job.
Also, as I'm going through my notes, they were working on Dean's leg and selling for the figure four and stuff. But every time Miz went into the figure four, he would use the wrong leg.
Yeah, I caught that too.
It's like, oh Jesus.
Work the left, grapple the right.
Maybe he can't put it on the other way.
No, I don't think he can.
I'm not sure he realizes which leg is supposed to be the one hurting during the figure four.
And here's the thing, if he can only put it in the one way, sell the right leg.
Not the wrong leg.
Just saying.
Okay, hit this leg, not that one, this one! I'll sell this one!
This is the only way I know how to put on a move. Can we do it this way? Anyway. Yeah.
I have to admit that just because of the stipulations and extreme rules and the whole thing, I did half expect Miz to actually get his own ass disqualified at some point.
It did not happen, and then I took up points from Omega.
Omega lost points.
Oh, that's the story of the night.
I have points, a funny
points,
feeling.
Points.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling somebody's catching up to my points.
So Miz is your new Intercontinental Champion.
Boo! Sorry, I don't like the Miz.
So backstage.
Oh, he's the heel. You're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to.
Oh, well then I'm actually
his job.
I'm actually falling into what WWE wants me to do. Great.
Sheep!
So backstage, Bayley poked fun at the This Is Your Life segment from Raw.
Oh, I missed this part.
Yeah, she took a little, you know, she mentioned how bad it was. And then she said she spent time watching Tommy Dreamer, The Sandman, and Steve Blackman.
Oh, I remember that part.
Once you said Steve Blackman, you knew you were losing.
Anybody that backs up Steve Blackman, yeah. Because Steve Blackman.
It's like, you know, I pop for the Steve Blackman reference.
I mean, I did too. No, don't get it wrong. It's like, I even was watching the Lethal Weapon Steve Blackman. Oh, you're losing the tie. You're losing the match. Never mind.
There was part of me that's like, please don't emulate the Sandman, Bayley, please. And then, I realized how hilarious it would have been if Bayley came out and busted herself open with a beer can before the match.
It's like, don't telegraph the end of the match by bringing up past names.
I would have showed the clip from the Edge and Christian show of her just caning the shit out of Tommy Dreamer.
Stop.
Funny. That was some funny shit that he just said there. Pay attention. All right, so your backstage segment's over, and then we have another match. Noam Dar with Alicia Fox versus Rich Swann with Sasha Banks. Woo-hoo. Now, guys, starting with Mike, I want you to rank the women on Raw, top to bottom.
Wow. Top to bottom? Ugh. I like to buy a vowel. Sasha Banks. No, I apologize. Fuck no. Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, okay, number one.
Uh-huh. Number... Yeah. How many do you want? Like, top what?
Six.
Oh, dear God.
Top. Can you name all six women on Raw?
No, just do four. Do four.
And here's the thing. They have to be currently active, not injured.
Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Nia Jax.
Okay, those are your four in your order?
Reason why I say that Nia is on the bottom, well, I think we all know why. They're not doing nothing with her.
Okay, we'll get back to that in a second. Omega, your top four.
In my head, it is Bayley, Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss, and then Nia.
Okay. Now, my top four in order as of right now, as of immediately before the pay-per-view, is Alexa, Bayley, Sasha, Nia.
Well, it's The songs sound different, but they all got the last note.
But it's important.
There's a reason for this. Shall I, or do you want to bring it up, Rock, even though it was my thing?
Was it your thing, or was it my thing that you're taking from me? Anyway.
Well, I took the Rank the Women on Raw and said I want to use that, but I said about Sasha Banks.
Go ahead, Tim.
People all over social media for the past 2 weeks have been bitching and complaining about how far Sasha Banks has fallen to be involved in the cruiserweights up against Alicia Fox. Do you have a response to that, Omega?
She has to work with somebody?
In a nutshell, I think you nailed it. What about you, Mike?
I'm going with Omega.
I mean, we acknowledge there are very, very few women on Raw. We leave out Alicia Fox,
mm-hmm.
who's been a non-factor in women's divisions for years now.
Can we not? After she lost the title, it was just like, eh.
Right. And, God, we left out, God, this is bad because I can't remember her name offhand. This is how much she's been left off TV.
Emma, which one?
Emma Mickey James.
Okay, here's a problem. That wasn't either of the ones I was thinking of.
Summer Rae.
Wasn't even that one.
The other one on Raw is Paige, and she's suspended. Or injured. All right, going backwards.
Interpended.
Before WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania.
I was waiting for something. What's happening?
I was too. At WrestleMania.
I started coughing. Oh. That's what happened.
Oh, he went mute and started coughing.
So, like, hey, this is on air. I mute it. At WrestleMania time, your power rankings would be Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, Nia. Your current power rankings, just based on who's the champion and going forward and contenders, Alexa, Bayley, Sasha, Nia. So for everyone who's complaining, Sasha is still in the same position.
Okay, Rock, I was trying to think of Dana Brooke.
You
couldn't remember either.
Well, she's... Anyway, that my...
Wait, who did you just say?
Dana Brooke.
Who's that? What?
The one Ziggler...
Exactly!
No, the one Ziggler actually did...
Just clip that right there. The one that Ziggler actually did.
There you go. We'll stop it there.
Don't believe it till the cell phone leaks.
Coming soon to a social account near you.
He certainly has a type. Anyway. I'm getting an echo from somewhere. All right,
it's not me. My shit's turned down this time.
I think we're good now. Anyway. Maybe not. I think it's Mike because he put his headset down. Anyway. Match, Tim.
It was a very entertaining match. Now, my problem is after the Cruiserweight Classic we got, I'm not really into the Cruiserweights on Raw and really don't pay a fuck of a lot of attention whenever Raw's on. Yeah, it's the Cruiserweights. Okay, who's wrestling? Yeah, whatever. I can catch them on 205. The match tonight was quite good. But one thing I did notice, going back to what we were talking about, everybody bitching about Sasha Banks falling down the ranks, pardon the rhyme, I'm seeing this as they want to give Sasha something to do because she's so hot, she's so popular. There's just wasn't another open angle to get her into anything at the moment. And right now, the only one she could be feuding with is Mickie James. Mickie James is the fellow babyface at the moment, and it just doesn't go over babyface for babyface with no or very little buildup.
And we also saw Nia for two pay-per-views already, and those weren't that great.
No, they weren't very awesome at all. Nia Jax on the pre-show panel tonight, just to get her face on TV, I guess. I don't know. But beautiful, beautiful move off the top rope by Sasha, in my opinion. The double knees to Noam Dar was a great spot.
Yeah, that was great.
And the feeling that I got from this entire match was Sasha Banks, the woman people are bitching and complaining about having fallen in the eyes of creative, carried this match, made Noam Dar, Alicia Fox, and her own partner Rich Swann look like gold. In my opinion, and I'm not the only one, Sasha Banks was the best in this match. It was like a major leaguer.
The ring general.
Thank you. You know, like the major leaguer making a special appearance in the minor leagues to sell tickets.
Which what happened on 205 Live, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She showed up, hey, we have an actual star on our show. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, Rock...
Now will you pay attention?
There you go. Yeah, no, Rock and I agreed with this 100% completely. She was head and shoulders above everybody else, and she just made this match very, very, not just good, but very, very good, Omega.
Well, yeah,
I didn't know Omega got black.
Your turn next, Mike. Go, Omega.
Sorry.
No, okay. It was better. It was better than I expected. This did feel just like a throwaway. This is just something to pad out time and give Sasha something to do, which I guess it says something that they need to set up three other people before they have something that's worth Sasha's time.
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe look at it that way, but this just felt like, okay, this occupies her and keeps her on TV, so let's just throw into this. I mean, it does raise star value to the rest, which is saying something because Alicia's been there for so long. She really did help carry the match to being far, at the very least, better than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm used to a different type of intergender match these days where you don't have to tag out because your partner tagged in. Like, my favorite spot of that match is, that double knee to Noam Dar. It's like, okay, like, this mixed tag, just fuck him up.
That was highly entertaining. I'm still just like, smiling every time I think about it. Mike, your turn. Well,
okay. It's sad because Alicia Fox has been in WWE longer than she has, than Sasha Banks. So I'm sitting here and I'm like, wow, Alicia. You've went from crazy token black chick to ratchet hood girl to now a foreign exchange student lover.
I was going to say arm candy for the Scott.
Yeah, close enough.
Scottish arm candy. There you go. Don't get me wrong, Mike. Yeah, don't get me wrong, Mike. I mean, I would date Alicia Fox. And absolutely. I did not even use air quotes when I said that.
I believe it.
And when I said date, no air quotes.
Yeah.
The problem with Alicia Fox is she's one of those few holdovers from the Diva era.
You know what? And yes, you're right.
And I'm sorry. It doesn't matter if any of the divas in anybody's eyes have transitioned into women's wrestlers from divas. There's still that stigma attached to them.
Always will be.
Is it bad that I think that she's bland?
No, because she is.
She's kind of bland. I mean, if it wasn't for them telling her act like this, act like that, I mean, what has she shown that she can bring to the ring that is, like her?
Like after she lost the title, I was like, baby, you got buried.
So.
I think the only time I can remember her really showing anything was when she was going, psycho after she lost matches, and then she'd start winning matches, and she'd still go psycho after the match.
Till Nia Jax beat the snot out of her.
Well, that'll knock the crazy out of anybody.
That great moment where she attacks Alicia Fox backstage and goes, "Oh my God, did I hurt you?" And then went, "Oh right, we're live. Oh right. My bad. I think he said that was a thing. Wasn't sure.
That's what I said. That was a thing.
Yeah, you came in very low. That's all.
And muffled, like you were, like you turned on the mic, but you were talking to somebody over your shoulder.
Oh, apologies.
Apologies accepted, Captain Nita.
So they broke the curse. Rich Swann won in his hometown.
I didn't even realize that it was in Rich Swann's hometown. Otherwise, I would have been more surprised by the who won.
Yeah.
you can tell because the crowd actually cared.
Oh, didn't they?
Well, there you go. So, was the match disappointing? No, I don't think so. I think it was entertaining enough. It wasn't 5-star quality for a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't anything that was going to make you bitch and complain or, use the bathroom or whatever during the match. So in that case, yay. Yeah. And, I know at some point in time, Sasha is going to wind up getting back into the main event again. But, aren't they going to have like a blow off match between Alexis and, Bayley now?
Alexa.
Yeah, Alexa. I don't know why I keep calling her Alexis. I even wrote it down in my notes as Alexis.
And I think that's happening at Great Balls of Fire. Well, duh, of course it's happening at Great Balls of Fire.
The greatest pay-per-view of all pay-per-views.
Oh my God, I can't believe they're actually doing this.
This is their third logo for Great Balls of Fire, by the way.
Considering they've done like in the 50s themes and whatnot, went from the TV diner to everything else, and I said, oh, y'all niggas are legit. Okay.
They got the rights to Great Balls of Fire.
I don't imagine they're very hard to get these days.
Still, they got it.
I'm happy they didn't get some puddle of mud ass, butt rock sounding band just to come do a cover.
It was an amazing commercial. Everyone go find it. It's awesome.
And the minute they announced, oh, get ready to hear Jerry Lee Lewis, and sure enough.
There it was.
Which is, you know, not a harsh thing. I don't mind listening to good old Jerry Lee. It's a great song to listen to in the summertime, windows rolled down, and you're cruising down the highway. That and Tom Petty. What is that song by Tom Petty? Running Down a Dream. He's actually doing the lyrics in my head, trying to remember the title.
Do you have one more song that you like to listen to, Tim?
And what, when I'm on the highway?
Yeah.
Driving down the road?
Mm-hmm.
In my pink Cadillac?
Go for it,
Tim. Come on, tell me you got it.
Go for it, Tim. I was trying to set you up for it. Just go.
Okay, well, no, I was getting there, but I was going to segue after that, but you totally did not glom onto the fact the Bruce Springsteen singing Pink Cadillac.
I got
Anyway, I don't know. Kind of got messed up with a wrestler singing tonight. Hey, Omega. Mm-hmm. Name your top three singing wrestlers.
My top three singing?
Wrestlers who have sung. Now, I'm not talking about on the WWF albums, but I mean like in ring or backstage or whatever. Name your top three, good or bad.
Oh, God. I'm trying to think now.
Okay, just name any three.
The Rock, which is an easy one. I'm not all here tonight. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like people who like I would identify as singing wrestlers. Fuck you. Intentionally not going there.
Okay, shut it off, Rock. You're not helping.
It's a great song.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No.
It's country music. No, it's not. Shut up.
It's a great song. All right, Mike. It's Omega's thinking. Name three.
Oh, crap. Did I enjoy? Or just in general?
In general.
You don't have to enjoy them. Just name them.
Jillian Hall is one of them.
Oh, I forgot about her. Fuck.
Okay, then four.
Why did you make me remember her?
She won the title. Of course you're going to remember her.
Chat room brought up another one I forgot about, too.
Chris Jericho. Fuck, there should be another one. You know what? Kurt Angle.
That is one that was going through my head. Oh, it was not good singing, but God, it was entertaining.
I don't Absolutely. Suck! I don't suck!
No. Jimmy Crack Horn.
Okay.
I was thinking Sexy Kurt.
Oh, Sexy Kurt, too. Yeah, he's sung multiple times, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Totally not how I pitched this idea.
No, not really. Didn't work too well. But you got The Rock, and, of course, popping into my head was B.G. James, better known as Road Dogg. And, of course, Kurt Angle.
See, what I thought was going for was name.
I wasn't done talking.
You said three.
I know, but I was going to also throw in there something that nobody has brought up. But Stone Cold Steve Austin sang a song wearing a miniature cowboy hat with Kurt Angle. Okay, go ahead, Rob.
I didn't know if he was the one with the cowboy hat. Kurt Angle was the one with the mini cowboy hat.
Austin was just wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah, like the mini one was to make fun of Kurt for being a dork.
What I pitched was name top three favorite wrestling, you know, singing characters. Not, you know, just people who sung who had an actual gimmick. Singing gimmick.
Yeah, like singing gimmicks are harder because they're usually people who actually do sing and then wrestling came up other. You know, like Jericho also sings, but
he does that separately. I mean, how many times has he ever sung on WWE?
See, I went with like Rockabilly, you can throw in there, BG James, Road Dogg, the Roadie,
mm-hmm.
Jeff Jarrett, Three Count. That's
R-Truth comes to mind.
R-Truth comes, there you go.
Yeah, because he sang live going to the ring, but that also brought up, does Heartbreak Kid count because he sang his own intro?
No, because that was not a singing gimmick, though.
No.
Yeah, key word is like singing gimmick.
Gimmick. Oh.
Gimmick, yeah. That's where.
So like Aiden English is doing right now.
Right.
Jillian Hall had a gimmick.
Jillian Hall was as close as we can get on that one.
Yeah. And it's not the gimmick people remember. People remember the disgusting thing on her face gimmick. And that was the entirety of her character.
Yeah.
Which was good riddance Steva days.
Now, the reason why I did this to you guys is because this is the part of the pay-per-view where they put the Drifter in the ring, and he strummed the guitar, and I'll admit, the guy can play guitar, but he sure fucking can't sing. And so he was either Mr. Filler tonight, or it's just a thing to go out there to make the crowd boom even harder.
I loved how there was a moment where the sound was, like, there's just a brief little moment where there was no noise whatsoever, nothing on the guitar, he wasn't speaking, and just clear as day, someone right next to a microphone went, "I hate you!" Thank you, one person in the crowd, you speak for us all.
So, yeah, anyway, I said to Rock, you know, I really hate that they made him a heel, because it would have been cool. Let him just come out, play the guitar, don't sing. But make everybody like him.
I'm not sure.
Being a heel.
I'm not sure they made him a heel, but they just let him do his thing backstage, wander around playing the guitar, and just let people come to their conclusion. Conclusion is, we don't like country music. Go fuck yourself.
I'm going to say a little yes and a little no, because Rock said something to me about when he was in NXT. Do you remember what you said, Rock?
Drift away. Drift away.
Oh, he's a heel there.
Yeah, and that's why he's a heel here, because drift away. Drift away. Anyway, next match, too.
After that, we had Bayley versus Alexa, sis. I tried. I couldn't help it.
No, it wasn't that. It's just this match.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. And I started thinking about this, like Monday night. This is one of the tried and true stories that WWE falls into more often than people realize. Especially when they do it right. The biggest one that I can throw at you is the whole program between Jericho and Goldberg back when Goldberg first came to WWF, WWE. And the whole build-up to that pay-per-view match between the two of them. And this was the week that Jericho kicked his ass for real in real life backstage, by the way. Would Jericho take the spear during the match? He's done everything he can to avoid it. Is Goldberg going to be able to land it? And, of course, we know finally Goldberg landed the spear at the pay-per-view and beat Jericho because Jericho let him. This is the type of build-up that I started feeling as of Monday night to this match.
This more equates to me to Bray and Cena's feud.
Okay.
Where it was all about, you know, come to the dark side. You know, come on, show that you have that in you. Which is the whole point of this was, can Bayley go extreme?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to ask a more important question. Do we want to see Bayley go extreme? Is it in character for her in the least? Is it anything she would ever do?
She shouldn't have to.
That's the point. She shouldn't have to. She should have been like she should be the type that could grab that stick, throw it away, and finish the match on her own.
Yeah, but at the same time, having been in a position where I've been pushed around enough to actually snap and do something that I wouldn't be known for doing. I'm at the point after all the bullshit and abuse that poor Bayley has taken at the hands of Alexa with other people beaking off here and there. I'm thinking, you know what? I want to grab that candlestick and just give her a good smack with a goddamn thing. Give her a taste of her own medicine. I want it to happen. It's out of character, but I don't care because sometimes you get pushed so far, you snap. And I wanted Bayley to snap, even for 30 seconds.
But here's the thing.
Yes, Tim, but you're kind of an asshole. Bayley is like girl next door sweetheart type. You know, it's not something I want to see of her. I remember when they were doing the interpromotional thing between Raw and SmackDown. The Raw women invaded SmackDown to beat down, and Bayley was in on that. And I went, this is so not her.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not going to disagree with you. I will disagree with you calling me an asshole on this particular thing, though, because I'm talking about, like, you getting bullied, and when you get pushed around by somebody, you snap and punch them. Once. And I've done that a few times, usually to my bigger brothers,
but
when they're picking on me.
Here's the thing. It shouldn't happen after 6 weeks. She should not be pushed to the edge in 6 weeks. It should take a lot to push her over the edge.
You know, yeah, again, there's the problem with people keep bitching about not having long programs, but when they do something that lasts longer than 3 weeks, people bitch that it's taking too long.
Because they need the best. they need writers who can tell an actual good story.
Well, that too. But I had my thoughts about this. Omega had his thoughts about the match. What about you, Mike? Did you have any kind of recall, hearkening back to a different type of angle with two different wrestlers?
Honestly, I was just you know what? No, I didn't.
Okay. Fair enough.
The thing of it was...
There was no need for this to be a Kendo Stick on a Paul match. This was a dumb gimmick from the moment they announced it on Monday Night Raw. You want to take her extreme, make it Extreme Rules. Not some stupid, oh my god, we gotta go up and climb a pole for 3 minutes. Oh my god. It's stupid, it took away from the match. You want Kendo Sticks, just make them legal.
Right.
You don't need a pole. It was dumb. And the fact that it came down in 3 minutes, like, well, that was pointless.
Well, right. Yeah. And then my rebuttal to that was, well, here's the thing. The object is to win the women's title, not to grab the pole. So maybe that's why they got the pole, the Kendo Stick, within 2 minutes. I'm not saying that it wasn't a dumb match, and I'm not disagreeing with you at all, Rock. But Omega, do you understand what I'm, I'm not, here I am trying to rationalize what Creative wrote, but do you get it?
Kinda.
Okay.
You get it out of the way. I understand that point, but again, you shouldn't have to write, oh my god, we have to write this back, get rid of this whole stipulation. Don't have the stipulation to begin with.
Just put them in there, let the Kendo Sticks lie around outside, and whoever gets it, use it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Don't make it the focal point of the match. But guess what? It
was. I was just going to say they've done that before with other types of matches where they put weapons outside, not under the ring, but outside. And the first one to grab it, use it.
Omega's favorite match, the Steel Steps match. They just put a whole bunch of Steel Steps on the outside. But the point is,
I'll find a way to strangle you, I swear.
I know. But they took away from the match.
To that.
There was like, the whole stipulation ruined the match, because these two are really great workers, and they were not given a chance to put on a really good match. Because if we remember back to the last pay-per-view, they had a good match. And like, the more they work with each other, the more they'll get really drive it home that they're really, really good. And when you stick them with a stupid stipulation, like this entire show, you can say, at least at the very beginning, first half of it, the stipulations hurt the show. They hurt the matches. This was a big case of that.
In any pay-per-view, what you need to do is showcase the level of talent you have. This took away everything they could have done.
Gotta agree.
So you're more interested in a stick on a pole.
Which is dumb.
This match, I said it, Alexa retained the title, but I said it to Rock immediately. I don't remember if I said anything to you during the match, but immediately after it, just said it was totally, totally a disappointing match. We got something we shouldn't have gotten. We didn't get anything we should have gotten, Mike.
It wasn't a match. It was a fight over a stick.
Thank you.
That's what this was. It was a fight over a stick.
I hate to say it. I mean, like, God forgive me, but it was a clusterfuck.
Like, do we want to break it down to this was two women fighting over a stick?
And then, never mind. Never mind. Too many puns.
Oh, I want to hear at least one pun that you were thinking that just immediately hit your head now, Mike.
Two women fighting over a stick? Jesus Christ. Well, one.
There you go.
Two women fighting over a stick. Ugh. Sounds like a lot of people's relationships and marriages.
Sounds like Vince Russo's booking again.
Bingo.
At least it's better than two girls, one cup. Anyway.
Oh! I hate you. I hate you.
Throw up now. I'm going to go throw up now.
Everybody on the count of three. I hate you, Rock. One, two, three.
I hate you, Rock.
Everyone needs a break after that.
That's our cue to take our first, last, and only time out of the evening. Everybody listening to WTR Extreme Rules pay-per-view review. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
who is the greatest hockey player of all time. CB Radio has decided.
Butchering some names. Frank Nyberg versus Joe Nuwenziken. Nuwendik.
I'm going to go with Nuwendike.
Yes.
Nuwendike. Wow. That is not what it looks like. Sweeney Schneider versus Matt Schmidt.
It's Milt, not Matt.
Whatever. I figured that was going to help out Team Chat. Finally, someone who has a real name. Brad Park gets Mark Messier.
Messier.
What the hell is that?
Fucking lynch him. Get a rope.
He has a goddamn R at the end. Screw you.
I can only wait till he gets to that Wayne Gretzky guy.
Guy Lafleur versus Lauren Chatbot. You added a D. Yes, I did. On purpose. Brett Hull versus Ray Borkue.
Bjork? Ray fucking Finkel.
Bjork. Okay, whatever.
Just think of the Swedish chef.
Fischler versus Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky. I'll be the Gretzky guy.
Way to play into it, Jobber. Way to play into it.
Pavel.
Oh, Bure. God.
Wait. Pavel. Bure. What? How did I have response?
Bure.
Pavel Bure.
Bure. Okay.
Oh, my fucking God.
French. Jerome Ignilia.
Aginla.
What?
Aginla.
Versus Joe Sakic. That's where I was going to go originally, but I figured it was going to be pronounced differently than I was expecting.
Jerome Aginla, one of the all-time greatest Calgary Flames players of all time.
Okay, Sakic. So I'm going to go with Joe.
I'll move Joe Sakic on. I can feel the hatred now for that last one.
You're all idiots.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself... Maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Celebrating 5 years of the award-winning The Rack.
Again, I'm curious to know, what was the experience like for you to be able to go back and wrestle in Japan again?
That was great. I haven't done it in a long time. And, you know, just knowing the respect within the culture that professional wrestling has, knowing the importance of this trip for the company, for the Wrestle One company, I think we all went there with the mindset of putting our best foot forward and putting on a great show. And hoping that that would then, you know, lead to bigger and better things down the road as far as the relationship between, TNA and Japan goes.
Absolutely. And do you have a favorite memory of wrestling in Japan?
I got to be real honest, the first time over there was always special because it's, for a lot of guys, it's something it's on their bucket list and something worth checking off. I got to be real honest, I was sitting in this ring on this last tour in the midst of this, this X Division title match, And as I looked over, I saw Kenta Kobashi and the Great Muta doing commentary on my match. And as someone who has immense respect for Japanese wrestling, and those two individuals specifically, there was a moment there where I think that even maybe gave me a little extra incentive to go a little above and beyond and kick it into the next year. So, just that off the top of my head is something that I'll remember from this trip specifically.
Join us June 29th for the celebration at 10 p.m. Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, basically breaking down and talking about WWE's pay-per-view offering for tonight, Extreme Rules. And don't forget, download the TuneIn app on your mobile device, 100% free! Search Wild Talk Radio Network and you can listen to us whenever you're on the go. Which would be good, especially in the summertime when you get into your car and go cruising. Instead of listening to Great Balls of Fire, you can listen to us talk about how the logo looks like a penis.
It looks like a penis.
Yeah. The very least, two flaming balls.
Two flaming balls with a tip.
My goodness.
I'm going to steal it from Omega. Logo for incoming.
Yeah.
But
that won't take very long.
But I doubt it because they made it into commercial. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh my god.
They might just have to clip off the tip. Anyway.
Circumcised.
Oh, so it's Jewish, is it?
L'chaim.
L'chaim.
All someone had to do was go, how about we don't put just two balls of fire? Like, maybe we go for like three, maybe?
Or just one.
Or four. Or...
Well, you can't have one because it's Great Balls of Fire.
Balls.
You need multiple balls here, Rock.
They want to put with multiple balls.
You put two other balls on the other side and it wouldn't look like a dick.
Or, never mind. Let's go, Tim.
You know how his mind works. Why did you open that door for him?
Now we're going to teach the listeners at home what docking is.
And let's put him in a cage, Tim.
Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy taking on Sheamus and Cesaro in a steel cage.
The idea of a steel cage is to beat your opponent senseless and then leave. Not, hey, in a minute, I'm leaving, bye, see ya. That's just me.
Which kind of is exactly what Sheamus and Cesaro attempted to do immediately as soon as the bell rang. I'm getting out of here. So am I. No, you guys aren't. Get back in here. That's basically what it was.
More amazed they thought that would work somehow. Where it's just immediately going to bolt for the wall.
Once they stop, bolting for the wall, it turned into a pretty good match.
It's a good match because, with the four that were in it, you would expect a good match. Like, anything less than good would probably be very difficult for these four.
Jeff got out of the cage first. So it was 2-on-1 on Matt. Really can't escape the Great Balls of Fire. Because then the next setup is they double teamed him with some white noise
off
the top rope. Anyway, I thought it was a cool spot.
Yeah, it's a cool spot. This is about the time when the match starts getting frustrating to me because all Matt has to do is bolt for the door, which I hate. I hate that there's even a door in cage matches anymore. Which they only put in because, how the hell else is the Big Show going to win a cage match?
Oh, God.
By the way, did we all notice there's no LED post tonight?
Yep.
Reasons.
For the cage.
Yeah, we know.
Okay, the cage doesn't fit over the pretty lights.
We gotta get a new cage. Anyway.
New cage with like rounded corners so they can fit over the big posts. No, this is frustrating to me because, okay, Jeff got out first. Cool. All right, Matt, go for the door. They're both down. You're climbing up the wall. While you're climbing up the wall, go out the door. They're both down. They're both down, you fucking idiot. Okay, now you're caught. Okay, now it's white noise. Oh, fuck. There's about six times where Matt could have just sauntered, not even run, just lightly jogged over to the door and easily gotten out. You know, it's when I get what they go for, but when you're intentionally writing them to be stupid for that point, like, that's a major trope in movies where characters have to be stupid to make the plot work when they normally wouldn't be. And that's what I saw in this match, where someone who's generally pretty smart in the ring decides, no, I'm going to take the stupid way here, and I'm going to keep taking the stupid way here.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to interrupt you for a second and make a comment. Matt, no. You're wrong. You're completely wrong. Pull matches are dumb and stupid.
Cage matches can be awesome.
Cage matches, when done properly, they're amazing.
Can be awesome.
Cage matches are not worse than pole matches. No.
No. Pole matches have only two uses. One, I actually do enjoy a flag match, because the point is to get to the flag.
Exactly.
Or I like a pole match when it is something of importance, like the focal point of a feud. You know, if someone stole Kurt Angle's gold medals, fine, do a pole match where those are on the pole. And again, it's the focus to get them. Or, okay, if it is a very specific weapon, you know, if it was like, you know, Mankind, you know, if it's like Barbie, it's like, okay, we have a baseball bat with barbed wire hanging off there. It's a very specific weapon. Okay, I kind of get that. When it's something you just have, like, WWE's got a stock of, like, 50 of those things at any given point. There's nothing special about the one that's hanging from the pole. You know, and there's nothing to really gain. You can still win the match without ever touching the damn thing.
Matt, if you grew up in the 80s, cage matches were amazing in the 80s.
That's blood, you rarely get to see them, mostly.
You had the blood baths in the cages.
They were allowed to bleed.
But even today, it's not about the blood, it's the stupidity of the rule, just escape the cage. If you go in there and put on a beating in a cage, that's what it's there for.
It's the psychology of it. It is
telling the story.
Yeah. You were key. Okay. No one can get in and no one can get out.
Bingo.
And there's a weapon in every direction and all I have to do is throw you into it.
You settle it inside the cage.
Yeah, it's one reason why cage matches end feuds.
And Ric Flair made that famous. There's a lot of people that have done cage matches, and they told stories. Triple H versus Batista. I hate to say it, JBL and the Big Show. Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio. I will say that one alone was just amazing.
Here's the thing. I'm responding to Matt. Tonight, we're not saying tonight was the greatest cage match, but because the idea of leaving the cage is dumb, you settle it in the cage.
Yeah.
You just settle it in the cage. And the fact that they took away that idea of, oh, you can't pin them, it's like...
What's the point?
The point of that.
Like, there goes wrestling logic.
Like, I get the point. I get the point is to leave them laying. You know, you've beaten them up so bad, there's no way they can stop you from just walking out.
Right, then they should be both down and out, and then you just leave the cage.
Yeah.
But you put the beating on them. That's how you tell it.
It's the end of an era.
And again, you don't give them the simple way out.
You don't run like a coward.
Unless you're a bad guy.
Or unless you're Jeff Hardy, who stupidly goes back into a cage when he's already out. Jeff Hardy decides, oh, hey, I'm going to go to the top of a cage and dive off of it because, hey, I'm Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Hey, it was a nice spot, but Jeff, you idiot.
Jeff Harvey.
No one ever said he was the smart brother.
No kidding.
But all in all, it wow, Cesaro. Okay, congrats.
And okay, the finish where it's like, oh, I'm going to get out. No, we're going to get out, and oh my god, we have to race to get out. Again, that defeats the purpose of a cage.
Defeats all the purpose of a cage. Unless they're doing that whole, oh, there's a difference between a cage match and a Hell in a Cell. about that.
Let's not get into it. I've grown to kind of hate Hell in a Cell.
It's just a spacey steel cage match. That's all it is.
It's a cage match where we put the point of a cage match farther away.
Well, that and they call it, they gave it a nice little name.
Oh, but we put a roof on it. So? Yeah. You put a door on the normal cage. It's not like it's hard to get out.
All right, what's your point?
It's like we don't even have to climb a normal cage anymore. What's the point if there's a top? Oh, but you can go up to the top. Why? I saw Mick Foley nearly die. Why would I ever go up to the top of that thing?
Because, oh my god, amazing dives. Woo!
Dive.
Dive.
Nah, I'm with Orton when it comes to the cage.
So yes, Cesaro and Sheamus are your new WWE Tag Team Champions for Monday Night Raw.
Yay!
Sad I lost points there.
Who gained points?
Points, 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 points.
No, not you.
Not you.
And Zeke took those points.
What you talking about? The next match I did.
Yeah, but we were talking about this match. I lost these points to her.
I'm so sorry.
It's not a good thing. Anyway, what's the next, Tim?
Austin Aries challenging Neville in a submission match.
Points, 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 points.
Now, here's the thing. It's a submission match. Would you guys have been happy if they had added a no disqualification stipulation to this?
You didn't need it.
You didn't need it for these two. You add no DQ when it's a submission match where at least one of the competitors has no actual submission hold.
Them niggas are damn near technical themselves.
I don't like in general when you have submission matches between people, or at the very least, I would like one of them in there to, you know, be like a Dean Malenko type where he has a whole bunch of submissions he goes to. Whereas if it's basically just, who's the last one to put their signature on? Okay, Rings of Saturn, Last Chancery, which one's going to go on last? You just kind of repeat the spot over and over in the match.
Now, going into this match, they did a great job selling.
This match was the off-the-hook match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
The best cruiserweight match we've seen in a while. And finally, after the third attempt, they actually put on a match that we knew they could have.
One out of three ain't bad.
The other two were just okay matches, but it's like, they were put in a spot where they were given time to tell the story in the ring. And it wasn't where, they have the time, and it wasn't like, oh, hey, you're the second match on the show, and we spent 10 minutes changing out the ring for 3 minutes.
Yeah, it took us 6 minutes to change up the ring. You've got 4 minutes. Yeah, like, these two, you knew they were capable of this kind of match, so I'm happy they finally got the chance. I'm happy they finally took a cruiserweight match seriously.
And it felt like a big-time match.
And they told a good job coming. Where they did a horrible job on Monday of pointing over the fact that, or on Tuesday, rather, where Neville would put him in the Rings of Saturn and he never tapped, and comparing it to where Neville would tap in the Last Chancery, they played that into the match where Neville did tap in the Last Chancery.
He did it outside.
It was outside the ring.
Outside.
Which was a great spot.
Because it didn't count. Ha ha.
It was that
Austin won. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
And then the finish. The Red Arrow and then the Rings of Saturn back to back. I was impressed by that one. That was nice.
What was there to not be impressed with this match? Really?
Because then in the end, it's now, this is it. We shouldn't see this match again tomorrow on Raw, Tuesday on 205 Live.
Nope.
This should be done. They should leave it. Move on to other things.
According to absolutely everything Michael Cole said, that won't happen, which means something's going to happen.
You just move on. You have to move on. Because you've told the story. He lost three times in these matches.
Which pisses me off, because Austin Aries should have beat Neville.
Because he's on your team.
Because points, yes.
Of course. Points.
No. The only way it should go, the only way it can go, is for Neville to keep the title because the only other person on the whole roster that's built up right now is Akira Tozawa.
Yeah.
You now need to find, you now do a solid program with TJP and Aries, but you get Neville away from it. And that's how you do it. But yeah. Neville is still the king of the cruiserweights.
Yeah.
Points.
Shut up.
Yes, Mike, we get it.
Shut up, Mike.
That's the only points I got for the night, so I can give no.
Oh, boo hoo.
How many did you lose with all the other matches? Enough to make up for winning points on this one, I hope.
Nothing, because Neville was the only person that I picked.
Shit. Damn it.
SmackDown, ask me, and NXT, ask me that. I'll be fucked.
Anyway, talk about the main event, Tim.
The main event? It happened. Fatal five-way. God, you had some real firepower walking into this. Samoa Joe, Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and of course, last but not least by a long shot, Finn Balor. A lot of people are saying, hey, Finn Balor, I want you to win. Did you want Finn Balor to win Omega?
There's part of me that says yes. At the same time, I don't want to see him die to Brock Lesnar.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, I want him to win. I want him back in the Universal title picture. I want to see the goddamn Demon again.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Demon only comes out when the title's on the line or if Rollins is being mean to him. But, like, I want to see him win, but I acknowledge this isn't the time to do it.
There are so many people on Twitter going, where's the Demon? Where's the Demon? Where's the Demon? Where's the Demon? Where's the Demon?
It's just a number one contender match.
A fatal five-way is no time for the Demon. Again, you should only see the Demon when it's an absolutely huge deal. You know, it's just like we've been saying. he's going to pull out the Demon. Do it at one of the big four pay-per-views or when the title is on the line.
And it also needs to be a point where the Demon is brought out of him.
He's pushed. He says, don't push me. You don't want that guy coming over.
Good. Going back to the
exactly
Bailey.
Like he did with Seth.
A little bit. But it's like going back to the Bailey stuff. Like, Finn's a generally nice guy. You push him to his limit. Then the Demon comes out. And that's when you see the Demon. You don't see it on Extreme Rules Fatal 5-Way. It's just not a thing. But, you know, the internet goes, hey, give me the Demon. I want the Demon. And they're trying to establish Finn as Finn. So let them do that.
But on top of it, you overplay the Demon, and then everybody's going to bitch about it. Oh, God, the Demon again? The Demon again? Rule number one in good professional wrestling, always leave the crowd wanting more.
And they did that.
And that, you know, you don't bring out the Demon. The crowd wants the Demon. Well, of course you want the Demon. Imagine how you're going to explode when the Demon shows up at SummerSlam, right? Mike, did you, never mind who you picked to win this on Pick'em. Who did you want to win this?
Honestly, I wanted Joe to win.
Okay.
Because, yes, anyone, of course I'm going to do the mindset of anyone but Roman. Bray Wyatt, man. That'd have been good. Seth Rollins, WrestleMania. Finn Balor, not yet. Paul Heyman did talk to him and have a segment with him, but not yet. And then you have the guy. I mean, you have the guy that is technically same size as him and shit. Okay, all right.
Well, no. Maybe he's the same weight as him.
He's the same weight in
the different, same mass
in different positions,
different proportions.
Yeah.
Well, long story short, I cannot wait to see the match.
At the greatest pay per view of all times.
Shut up.
Great balls of fire.
Even though we know Brock is still retaining.
Well, yeah, we know Brock's retaining until WrestleMania, and when he loses Roman Reigns.
This is why life sucks. But yeah, seeing him and Brock go at it, Jesus, talk about I don't want to say a dream match, but that's a match that we can actually enjoy. Kind of like, no, I can't even put it to that caliber, but yeah, I look forward to that.
I can't even remember who my pick and pick was for this one. But I said to Rock, I want Joe to win, because can you imagine Joe versus Brock? It's, you know, don't worry about whether or not you can compare it to any other huge match. This will be massive. And I now am very much looking forward to it, but I even said to Rock, I really wasn't expecting Joe to win this. though I wanted him to win.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect them to run heel-heel, though Lesnar floats.
No, you got to kind of sort of put Lesnar as a tweener.
Lesnar right now is doing his best Austin kind of face, where he comes in, the crowd loves him no matter what he does, because he comes in, he breaks shit real good, you know, and then he leaves. Okay, and he's kind of a dick while he's here, or Heyman is a dick for him, but it's that kind of like weird position he's in now where, okay, he works with either face or heel, and that works. That can work. But yeah, like, Joe is the one you kind of want to see because, number one, it's one of those, this match never was possible before. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Triple H. And it's two Mack trucks going head to head colliding. This should be devastation. Like, these are two guys that can handle, you know, the level of punishment each other dish out.
Yeah, okay, two Mack trucks, but don't forget, at least one of these Mack trucks can move almost like a cruiserweight.
It's probably not Brock.
He tried.
You would be correct, sir.
He tried that one time.
Yeah, he gave himself a tombstone pile driver.
He tried. And for going through the picks, Tim, you did pick Samoa Joe.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit. So did Mike.
Woohoo!
But anyway, should we talk about the match? Or we're just going to skip over the match?
No, no, okay. You know, it was a good match. It really was. And what did we notice, say, the first three quarters of it, Ruck?
Where was Roman?
To a lesser extent, where's Seth?
Before we get to that point, I just like in the beginning, Rollins and Joe paired off, Finn and Bray paired off, and Roman's just standing there. It's my yard, I'm just going to stand in it.
Look, we've all got good heat right now. We can't be seen with you.
Yeah. He's like, we'll be friends with you when nobody's looking.
You know how every group of friends has that one guy that's always invited, but no one really likes him?
Nobody really wants him there, but Mom will yell at you if you don't say you better show him.
Yeah.
They did a great job of keeping Roman out of it. Seth stayed away, and then, you know, you built to the finish and everything. But Samoa Joe and Bray Wyatt make a hell of a team. They work well together.
Yes. Temporary truce for a good part of the night, for a good part of this match.
Unholy Alliance.
They work really well together.
Well, Mike just nailed it. Unholy Alliance.
But yeah, this match was a lot of fun all the way through. A lot of fun.
Definitely. You know, after Finn Balor packaged the sling blade, next thing you know, a missile dropkick, coup de grace, finisher to set up. You know, the crappy pin on Reigns, and then Joe jumped in the ring and was like, no, bitch. Kahina clutch. Put poor Finn Balor to sleep. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I will admit, I do miss the days when they would actually, you know, count them down 1, 2, 3 on the arm drops rather than just call it immediately.
He should have done that. Yeah. Something's lacking when the ref doesn't do that anymore. But props to Balor for forcing his face to go purple.
Forcing his face.
Forcing his face to go purple.
Yeah.
Turn purple.
Awesome spot with the Frog Splash through the table.
Oh, that was incredible.
That was a great spot. The spearing through the barricade.
Very good. The spear. Oh.
Spear through the barricade. Okay.
Yep.
It was a good spot.
What did I say? Joe just got killed.
It's a great spot, but it's so overdone.
Yeah. Frog splash did it. I'm sorry.
The frog splash worked. Through the barricade. It's when Roman does it, it's like, okay, cut it out. We've seen it already.
Everyone does it.
I know. It's, as far as Roman Reigns goes, you know, and I said this while we were talking during the pay-per-view, love or hate Roman Reigns, Reigns and Rollins are really fun facing each other in that ring. They had a fantastic match against each other on Monday night, and it made you feel like, okay, shit, no stopping Roman. He's going to goddamn win this thing. And then they square off tonight in that ring. Rock and I, oh, maybe this is why they were holding them back. sure enough, boom. And these two fighting each other is just, it's fun.
When done right and they both stay healthy, it's a lot of fun.
Amen.
Because they've had a few matches where they've been cursed, where they're booked to have matches and, oh my god, I have my appendix burst, or I blew out my knee. You know, that how that goes. But when they can get in there and actually wrestle, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. But all in all, like, I really thought that Finn was going to give Miss a dropkick to Bray through the barricade, and then the barricade was just going to, like, kaboom. I thought. But, you know, Bray Wyatt ain't that big, and yeah. But I liked it. It was, the finish was amazing. The fact that everybody got a chance to do the, well, not everybody, but they managed to do their signatures and finishers. I like that. Classic. You barely get those anymore.
Here's the thing I know. The one thing going back a little bit in the match, and Tim noticed as well, you have Rollins and Roman standing there talking and just getting the crowd all hyped. And then you can read Roman's lips, ready to go, ready to punch, something like that. You saw them say it, and it's like, there they go, now they're doing it. The camera was in such a bad spot. Just
it was like, ready for the punch.
Yeah, it was like, oh, bad camera work, but what can you do?
Exactly.
Yell at the cameraman and fire him and threaten to hire Steve.
Oh, no. The camera has nothing to do with it. That's the director.
That's the director's fault.
Which the director has absolutely no idea when they're going to call their spots.
Oh, no, I know that. I was just making the cameraman the scapegoat.
Fire Kevin Dunn.
Yeah. There you go. So,
that means we could actually get people watching a TV backstage and not be right beside it.
Wait, that's not how you sit there and watch the pay-per-views?
I hate that.
You don't stand there awkwardly looking at your television when watching the shows?
So, do you really think the audience is so fucking stupid they need to see both the front of the wrestler and the front of the TV at the same time to actually know that they are actually watching what's happening in the ring right now? Like, you can't shoot from behind the TV like in the old days, and I can assume they're actually watching the match. I don't think they're catching up on the new season of Arrow, that they're actually, well, you know, paying attention. So shit like this, like, as a film guy myself, shit like this bugs the hell out of me.
Well, you know, it's almost like going to watch, if you had the capability of doing so, Houdini perform. And then have the cameraman in the back, and you see that the key is actually stuffed up the collar of his, the cuff of his shirt for the handcuffs.
It's not even just bad positioning like that. It's just, it's standing at the most awkward, it's literally, what's the most awkward thing we can have him do? Okay, have him watch the TV out of his peripheral vision.
One thing I've noticed is all wrestlers seem to love seeing themselves on the Jumbotron.
Anyway, Samoa Joe is moving on the Great Balls of Fire to fight Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. Tim?
Yes?
Pick'em results.
I'm not going to go pick'em results, because I'm going to tell everybody pick'em results, but not the way we normally do it. I'm going to do it differently.
Oh, dear.
Rock already knows which way I'm going to do it. Don't you, Rock?
Just say it, Tim.
I'm going from the bottom to the top. Starting at 15, I'll buy his lonesome Subway, 1-5.
He did the best last time, so he went from first to last.
Tied in 12th place is Lone Jobber, Sheila, and Clint Hogg, 2-4. All by himself at number 11, our very own Oreo, because he calls himself that. Heartbreak Mike, 3-2.
Holy fuck.
Tied in 4th place with a perfect 500 record is Michael, WWE 2K17, 8-Ball, Lindsay, Rock, Omega, and yours truly. In 2nd place, Tommy C and Rob, both with 4-2.
I really don't like where this is going.
All alone in 1st place with a perfect score of 6-0 for the first time ever, and only like the 3rd time we've ever done pick'em, somebody has gone perfect. Gotten a, you know, batting 1,000, the Random Thing Picker. Random Thing Picker, number 1, 6-0.
Rock, what is that email for complaints again?
Why would you complain about that?
Cause it's a mistrial. I want to recount.
Okay, hang on a second. Let's see. After recounting Random Thing Picker 6-0, Heartbreak Mike 3-2.
There wasn't any Hanging Chad?
Just go to Quick Hits. All time greatest. Whatever.
We retired Quick Hits. We're not doing all time greatest. We'll do this. Oh, what a week it was. What a week it was. Unlike Tim, I'll go from top to bottom. My team had 29. Lindsay had 21. Tim and Mike got 13. The intern had 6. Megan was minus 8.
No! You could park a bus in my ass after that pay-per-view.
The Shield. The Shield.
You a new one.
The Shield let you
down. Rip me a new one, a second one, a third one, a fourth one.
The Shield broke.
Team Tim overall has 94.
Woohoo!
Team Mike has 76.
Boo.
Team Lindsay has 70.
Boo.
I have 66.
Baha.
The intern has 60.
Baha ha ha.
Omega has 17.
I really, really feel bad for Omega at the moment.
Hold the fuck up. Oh, wow.
Omega lost like 2 million points this week.
So I can neither confirm nor deny that the plan may not be going to plan.
I think SmackDown kind of fucked a lot of us over.
SmackDown fucked me over because nobody I picked is showing up.
SmackDown didn't hurt me at all.
I'm not hurt by SmackDown.
I'm good. NXT is helping me out.
I actually was playing it safe except for picking Braun Strowman, and then the fucker goes and gets injured. And I'm still 6 points away from triple digits.
You don't have Braun Strowman.
I picked Braun.
No, you didn't.
And he's injured.
You don't have Braun.
Who's got Braun?
Team injury.
Yeah, if someone's injured, the intern picked them.
He has Braun Strowman injured. He has DIY injured. He has Ember Moon, who was injured.
Yep.
He is team injury.
So, yeah, are we going to do a team injury tally?
What do you mean?
your response is supposed to be, that's impossible, because they're neither appearing on TV or wrestling for points.
Formerly known as the Roman Reigns Krillin-owned count.
My goodness.
That's our show.
So, there you go. We're basically done for the night, guys. Are you happy?
Get to put the show out of my mind? Yeah.
Well, there you go. Okay. Fair enough. That said, everybody catch me on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums. Check out Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. Follow Wrestle Talk Radio at WTR Sunday Night on the Twitter. Hey, Facebook, we got presence there too. It's a bit of a footprint and it keeps growing all the time. Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night.
Yeah.
So do all that shit and don't forget, tune in tomorrow night for immediately following Raw. It's the Raw after the Raw post show type thing.
Okay. Tune in to Raw post show, recap everything goes down on Monday Night Raw as the road to Great Balls of Fire begins.
I still say call it right after wrestling because that's awesome. Tuesday, it's another episode of WTR Sims on the twitch.tv slash Rock Radio Show. What happened last Tuesday, Rock?
Controversy. We had a title change for the Rock Women's Championship. Someone was holding a rope and got counted down. Controversy strikes there. And the intern, on intern's revenge, set up an Iron Man match for the CB Radio title against Tim. Tim was down, but the time ran out. Controversy strikes. Go watch it.
YouTube.com. How is that controversy if the time runs out?
Because he had you beat.
Yeah, but the time ran out. That's not controversial at all.
It's very controversial.
YouTube, you're just trying to make it controversial.
I'm just trying to sell the point. Go to YouTube.com/RecRadioShow to see the archive.
Screw it. I'm going to book another WTR Sims.
Not this week, because this week, Team Chat is going down.
Ooh, ha ha ha. I'm still booking an upcoming episode of WTR Sims. Pay attention to my Twitter and Wild Talk Radio Twitter. We'll let you know when that's going to happen again, because apparently everybody loved the gauntlet, Rock.
Good. So, well, Tim will book again, but I'm booking this week, so find out what happens when I have a plan for Team Chat.
Mwahahaha. Thursday nights, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show with the one and only Lindsay Ward.
Gearing up for 5 years at the end of the month. This week we'll have the NXT Rundown, the SmackDown Throwdown, and the Extreme Rules Review. Check it out Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. It is The Rack, Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Just search Rack Radio Show. We're there. Subscribe and all that fun, happy stuff.
Sunday, Saturday nights, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it, the wild, the wacky, the unusual, the G-rated, pornographic CB radio.
G-rated pornography?
Whatever. Anyway, that's...
Okay, it's getting harder every week to do shit like this, trying to describe CB. Come on.
It's simple. On Saturday nights, we do Say What. We have all the random news we can possibly handle, and we have the greater than great debates. This past week, we did action movies. This week, we're doing DC characters. Check it out. CB Radio Live, midnight-ish, Saturday night. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com. Hashtag Blame Rob When a Celebrity Dies. Upcoming ones include Super Nintendo TV villains, movie characters, and this very special one in July.
And as soon as the webcast gets turned off, and then all week long, stalk Omega. He'll tell you how.
Stalking me is very simple, as I leave myself very many places for you to follow me. If you are the Facebook type, you can follow me over on TJ Reviews. However, everywhere else you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel, where I am constantly updating with a whole bunch of new stuff. And it is also the website, tjomega.org, for a whole bunch of exclusive stuff.
Follow Heart Rate Mike on the Twitter machines, because he's got a Twitter handle and he's about to tell you, but he's really just champing at the bit because I keep talking and I'm not letting him tell you.
No, it's fine.
I'm not letting him tell you to follow him at the WTR Oreo.
That's right. That's right. You know, don't follow me at the WTR Oreo, you know, on that Twitter page. Or,
you know what? Screw that. Follow that mofo. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, dear God.
Do it or you're, like, some kind of a deviant that I can't say anymore because of political correctness. Shame on you, Bill Maher.
I thought you were going to just say you're going to ground people for if they don't follow him.
Follow him or somebody going to kick your ass.
Say goodnight, Tim.
What, are you done plugging? Were you not?
Okay. Anyway, those of you, you know, WTR, the WTR Oreo on the Twitter page. And then you can find me doing a little project on the Facebook. It's called United Wrestling. Look it up. Got some videos coming out very soon. And we will see what else happens. Yes.
There you go. Now, that being said, back to our normal time next Sunday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. Please join us. We'll do something, and it might even be entertaining this time.
We'll
have ourselves a great
week. Hold on. We will be previewing Money in the Bank.
There you go. See, I told you we'd be doing something, and it might be entertaining. All right. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you next Sunday right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Radio.com.